I wonder what's the best welcome you've ever received. When have you experienced people going out of their way to support you in your service to God? When have you taken the opportunity to support others when they were in real need? Have a think. We're continuing this week where we left off last week. Up to now, in the Gospel of Matthew, the disciples have been mainly watching Jesus, showing his miracles, his love, his power, and his wisdom. And now, in Matthew 10, he's saying to his disciples, there are people who need to hear the message and be changed. And this time, I want them to hear it from you. When we think about the letters LMC, we know that they stand for Leatherhead Methodist Church, but they also stand for Love, Mission, and Care. And we know how interlinked those things are. You cannot care without loving, as otherwise it comes across as mere duty. And you cannot love without doing mission, as otherwise people might be so taken by the human love that they miss out on the divine source of that love. And you cannot do mission without caring, as otherwise that shows insincerity. All attempts to do one without the other will probably present a lopsided view of God. God needs us to love people, and he needs us to care for people. But what he's talking about in this chapter is he needs us to take his message to people. So he's focusing on the mission. The message of that mission is for us to tell people that they also can take hold of the great salvation that Jesus won for them by dying on the cross and being raised to life. If you listened to our service last week, then you'll have heard Jan talking about the agony and the ecstasy. For Jesus, the agony of the cross for the sake of the ecstasy beyond it. And for us, sometimes the agony of giving that which we want to hold on to but cannot keep in order to gain that which we can never lose. It's such a fascinating chapter. Even in the context of a God that deeply loves every single person on this planet and asks us to be instrument of blessing, to show love and care. The passage tells us to be wise about how we deal with people. Jesus even says that if, when we're truly representing Jesus rather than ourselves, and still someone doesn't welcome us, then we should shake the dust off our feet. The phrase shaking the dust off your feet then was a cultural sign to say, I think you're making the wrong choice. With God's help, we need to find our own ways of expressing that in our culture where appropriate. We finished last week with Jesus saying, those who try to gain their own life will lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The passage talks about tensions that may arise with those closest to us due to matters of faith. And the current restrictions can also be a cause of tension, can't they, in homes? If you need to talk and pray through that or anything else with someone, please do get in touch with us through someone you know or through our website. Just go to the LMC homepage and click prayer request. We'd love to bring that situation before God together and ask him to minister into it. This is where we come to today's three verses. Jesus closes his sermon by expressing to his followers how much he loves them. He's saying that even if people turn against you, disciples, some will help you and they will be rewarded. Let's listen to God's word together and then we'll have a look. Over to you, Ron.
The Gospel reading is from Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. You hear Jesus telling the apostles that they are representatives of himself and the Father. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person would certainly not lose their reward.
Thank you, Ron. And because we've only got three verses to look at today, I'm going to try and take them one by one. Let's try and visualize this first one together. Although in this particular verse the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned, the message is about the closeness between Father God, Jesus himself, and those disciples or followers of Jesus who go in his name to spread the message. Jesus says, anyone who welcomes you, meaning his disciples spreading the message, welcomes me. That's Jesus. And anyone who welcomes me, that's Jesus again, welcomes the one who sent me. That's God the Father. So the message is Jesus, and the mandate is that Jesus' followers are the ones to take the message out to people. And there's another category mentioned here, which is people in his church who receive and bless those who are taking the message, and we'll come to that in a minute. There's the whole picture. Let's carry on. Whoever welcomes a prophet because he or she is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. There's a couple of good examples of that in the Old Testament. Do have a read of them if you get the chance. In this first situation in 1 Kings 17, there was a widow who was literally on the point of dying of hunger. And Elijah the prophet said, "Will you bring me a drink of water and a piece of bread?" And the widow gave of what little she had. Then Elijah the prophet miraculously ensured she had what she and her son needed. And later, when her son died, Elijah restored him to life. Then in this second situation, this time in 2 Kings 4, a couple who were rich and did have what they needed, but still provided food and a comfortable room for the prophet Elisha, because he was a holy man of God. As a reward, Elisha promised the childless couple a child. This very own child, though, was born and grew up, but then died young. However, Elisha, in this picture again, came and restored him to life.
But prophets aren't just old people from biblical times, as they're depicted in these pictures. They can also be you and me today. Being a prophet just means speaking God's word. Even if you don't see yourself now as someone who speaks God's word, there's passages in the Bible that encourage you to directly ask God for that ability. But whether you've done that and have that gift, or whether you're someone who finds a way to bless or provide for someone else who does, Jesus is saying from a reward point of view, it's all the same to him. Anyone who welcomes a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Verse 41 carries on and talks about righteous people. And I'd say a good definition for those righteous people is this. Righteous people are those who, motivated by their love for Jesus, seek to do what's right. And the result of that is that good comes to them and also to those that they interact with. And the message of our passage again is that the reward for one of us who receives a righteous person or welcomes a righteous person is similar. Anyone who welcomes a righteous person because they're a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. So if you see people driven by a desire to do what God shows them is right, then do what you can to help them. There's a tangible sense here that you'll get the same reward. Then in the last verse, it talks about little ones. If anyone gives even a cup of water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you, they will certainly not lose their reward. I think this is talking about little ones in the faith, those people who might not be ready to use those prophetic abilities or spread the message of love to those outside the church so easily. That could mean that they're little in body or little in understanding of God's love for them, or both. Either way, these people are significant and hugely valuable in God's opinion, and he loves them just as much as the best super spreader of God's good news or the most faithful servant in the background that enables the church to function. I don't know about you, but still, as I read the passage, I picked up that there still could be an inference that different people get different rewards. I wonder, does it mean that a prophet's reward is different to a righteous person's reward? Or that a little person is any less worthy than either of those for a reward? If we're talking about rewards in heaven, I'm not sure about that. The salvation we all share is a gift rather than something earned. On the flip side of that, though, if you're a follower of God, I reckon there are massive rewards to be gained on earth, including rewards when we interact with God through prayer and study, rewards to be gained in understanding and sharing his message, and rewards to be gained in any type of true and sincere involvement in his work. We may be the type of person that feels those rewards keenly, or we may be the type of person that feels those much less. We can trust Jesus, though, that we won't lose our reward.
In our starting sequence, we saw the message, "Welcome to LMC." But actually, the message here is the opposite to that. LMC to welcome. LMC to welcome all, because that's the gospel message. But from this passage, also LMC to specifically welcome those among us that serve God. When it comes to the time of the treasurer paying the bills, we sometimes give the message out, please give your support to LMC. And that's critical for us to function at all, isn't it? But the message beyond that of this passage is backwards again. LMC to support those who are sharing his love, his care, and his mission with others, wherever they are. A cup of water is the smallest of gifts, a gift that almost anyone can give. Even if we can't invite anyone into our homes, there are still things that we can do. If you're joining us for discussion groups after church, feel free to discuss that with each other. But as I finish, let me give you maybe a few pointers. On an emotional level, there are some people who continue to take the time to chat with others. Every one of us needs support, don't we, at some time. So thank you to those that do that. On a financial level, we know that there are organisations still seeking to do good, but which need our support. On a spiritual level, I know
I've been in real need of help in recent times. And praise God that different people in their own ways have really helped me through that. We all get thirsty sometimes, and my prayer for all of us is that we can drink of God's goodness and be changed to be able to serve Him. What's it going to take for God's church to grow? What's it going to take for His message to be made clear? What's it going to take for His love to be shown?